There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. It's a Tuesday night. Today's date is the 27th of January, 2015, and it is exactly 1 minute and 53 seconds after the hour of 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, broadcasting live from a horse ranch in a horse barn located in the central part of the United States of America. This is the Abiding Presence. Well, Jim is back from California. He's here in the barn tonight, so everybody's here. Jim's here. Ranger's here. By the by, I'm here. We've got kind of an eclectic show for you tonight. I'm going to warn you, it's going to be another boat rocker kind of a night, to say the least. We've got some interesting things. Somebody asked me a question through an internet page, and I'm not going to mention their name, but it's a very interesting question that I think a lot of listeners would like the answer to themselves. It's the kind of question, when I read it, that I think of a lot of you listening tonight, or perhaps just some, will say, yeah, me too. That's a good question. I want to know the answer to that. Also, I'll give you a warning. Dig out those homework assignments, those pieces of paper that we had you write your worries on literally weeks and weeks ago. 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks ago. I can't recall. But we're going to talk. That is the homework assignment tonight. We're going to really get you thinking about that. And I'll warn you right now, this is your warning. You want to get your dancing shoes on. You're going to be doing some dancing tonight, some physical activity. But before all that, there's probably a better way, a nicer way, a more politically correct way. You could say a friendlier way. maybe Jim's way. But unfortunately, Jim's microphone isn't turned on quite yet, so you're stuck with me. And we're going to talk about just how weak are you? Everybody has a chink in their armor. Everybody has a weakness. And I'm not talking about drugs or alcohol or gambling or adultery or a bass boat or a motorcycle. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about weakness because of choices, weakness of your perspective on life. So many times, all of us, this includes myself, Jim, about the only person it doesn't apply to, is Ranger. Jim just pointed at Ranger. He did, didn't you? That was kind of funny. Jim pointed at Ranger when I said that. It was kind of funny. Is we unwittingly support hell and ignore heaven. In other words, We do the devil's job for him. We turn our back on Christ. And it, like I said, it's not drugs, it's not gambling, it's not adultery, it's not violence. It's in really subtle, simple ways that you would never consider are weak. And it's not because you're uninformed or uneducated or stupid. It's more because of the world that you were born into. The influence of adults on children, the influence of your schooling, the influence of friends, songs, books, television shows, movies, and most importantly, organized religion and the way Scripture is twisted like a hot pretzel into doctrine that makes us all weak. It's not so much about what we choose as why we choose and why we think it's a choice to make. Because, Jim, you just shook your head yes when I said that. And so when I said it isn't so much about what you choose, it's about why you choose it, that really has to do about how you perceive yourself. And what you think your options are, your choices, or what's wrong, what's right, or I have no choice, I have to do this kind of an attitude, right?
Yeah, I think we're going to get down to really the motives of a person's heart. We're going to definitely touch on, and everybody has different insecurities, but insecurities and how people deal with those. Many times insecurities... In fact, most often you'll find insecurities, people will rise up and try to actually act as though they're very strong, yet the insecurity shows that they're actually very weak. And these things that we're sharing and going to talk about tonight are just revealing thoughts about everybody's life somewhere, somehow, that ends up being translated into the way that you do your Christianity or you do your faith. We've said a long time ago, in fact, haven't said this recently, it's a statement that I try to always emphasize whenever I'm making it, that people write it down and really think about it, but it's a great statement, and it goes like this: how you do life is how you'll do faith, and if your faith isn't working, it goes back to how you do life. It's a really, really good statement because, again, it says a lot in how you do life, and in this area... It really comes back down to how you deal with your own weaknesses. In what areas of your life are you able to actually take the reins in your own life? And in what areas of your life do you find there are no reins? And it's like as though you're not even able to have a say-so in your life. And it's true like that. I mean, people have strengths and weaknesses. And this is something that translates into God and how they relate to God.
It's kind of something that most of us can relate to. It's a little tough for some of the kids that are listening. So I'm going to do it this way. When you're in grade school, when you're in like first, second, or third grade, you're not as comfortable at school as like the fifth and the sixth graders are.
Yeah.
And when you start junior high, the eighth graders seem so much older and they seem a lot more relaxed than the newcomers, the seventh graders. And when you start high school, when you're a freshman or a sophomore, it's obvious that the juniors and seniors kind of own the school.
Yeah, they rule.
They rule. Well, and let's put it to another term. When you're new at a job or when you go to someone's home that you don't know very well for like a party or for whatever social gathering it is, you're on your best behavior. There's a little tension because you're worried about acceptance and you're also worried that you're not sure how things work and who anybody is. So you're trying to figure out the lay of the land. There's a learning curve. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of limits and gives you a perspective on what you should say, how you should act, and what you should do.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're going to your grandparents' house for a big get-together and you're bringing someone with you, they may have the feelings I just described, but right. you don't because it's grandma and grandpa's house.
Right. There's ownership there.
There's familiarity.
That's right, yeah.
There's familiarity. There's a recollection of memories. There's a feeling of home and comfort.
You belong.
And acceptance.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we all, in our own ways, have that comfort feeling when it comes to our schools, our home,
right.
some friends, relatives, and perhaps even our job or places we hang out with friends. But yet at the same time, we don't have that feeling if we go to a big box store or a shopping center or a county fair or a flea market, because then we're just one of the many fish in a bigger pond.
Sure.
And so we're not sure where we fit in. Well, it's even worse when people start thinking about their city, their county, their state, the world.
Right.
Or they're just one chair in a congregation of several hundred. All of a sudden, there's a inherent feeling of weakness.
Sure.
Of unfamiliarity.
Uh-huh.
And this garners a perspective on reality that people kind of accept themselves to channel into, that gives them limited ability to not only see who they are, but to see that there are really wonderful choices that they're going to ignore because they're fencing in themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are a lot of people that they get over this in a certain way. They start to get out of it. By the end of a party or by the end of the second day, they feel right at home. It's no big
mm-hmm.
deal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm new, but so what? You were new sometime yourself, kind of attitude. But there's others who have a weakness, and they take it wherever they go.
Yeah.
And instead of trying to fight the weakness, combat the weakness, they embrace it because it's familiar, because they've been choosing wrong their whole lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so they put up a false front of stubbornness, of a mindset of I know what I want and this is what I want mentality, when in reality, the reason they're barking is because they're afraid they're going to get bit.
Yeah.
And so they posture themselves as puffing their chest and standing firm to their beliefs, when in the reality, it's a hollow feeling.
Hmm.
And they feel weak and they feel lost. And at some point, all of us feel this to a certain degree. And it shapes what we think our choices are.
Mm-hmm.
And negative energy, Satan, hell, whatever you want to call it, or him, they love this. Because this takes us away from the power of Christ.
Right.
It literally sucks the grace right out of our to-do list.
Mm-hmm.
The grace is with us. We're just so drawn away from it
uh-huh.
because of our own flesh, worldly perspectives on this is the only choice I have. The majority of the time when somebody said, I had no choice, this was the only choice I had. No, that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
It's a choice you could live with, a choice you could accept, a choice you could deal with, and you didn't want to consider the other choices because maybe the outcome wasn't as nice as this. Maybe it put you in a darker light. Maybe it held you more accountable. And so, unfortunately, this carries over to people's relationships with the guys. They bring this perspective, this mindset, this attitude, and it makes it so frustrating for them to find grace.
Mm-hmm.
Because they'll say, yes, I know that I was born with grace. Yes, Jesus' blood paid for my sins. All my sins are forgiven. Ask and I shall receive. I listen to this radio show. I read scripture. It all makes sense. It fits together. Yes, yes, yes. But still, they have nothing. They don't enjoy anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I find this to be... In a sense, we're going to read a question here in a second, but I find this to be a...
You want me to read that question?
Well, I will in a second here, but this question you're going to read is really, I mean, like everybody has it. So it's not like it's just one person's question. And, you know, when I'm listening to you, I'm also thinking, I think a real good example also applies like this. You know, you get used to a smaller town. Tulsa isn't super small, but at the same time, it does have a very small town feel to it. And like over the last, well, since the first of this year, I've been up in Chicago. I've been going through Toronto and Ottawa. I've been then out in California. And when you're around a larger city and there's 10 times the amount of traffic on the roads and there's 6 and 7 and 8 lanes instead of 2. On going one way, and you've got traffic screaming, and we were down in Dallas during rush hour. All of that, put that together with the uncomfortableness that you have driving when you're going places you don't know where you're going. You're surrounded by so many people that you're not used to. They seem to be going very fast and very confident of where they're going, and you're just kind of trucking along trying to fit in. And there's a real feeling of insecurity there. There's a real feeling of kind of intimidation. You're not as confident as you normally are on your routes and your routines that you normally take, where you become very confident. You have a certain ownership about where you're going. You've been there a million times. You've done this trip over and over and over again, possibly 5 times a week. And there's a feeling inside of you where you don't really have any jitters. There's no feeling of this is going to be a bad day. Well, folks, if you can relate that to your own personal walk, you know, many times we present on the outside a certain front about ourselves that we're so in control. Yet, all you got to do is just take a few moments and think of some of those areas of your life where you realize you're 100% out of control. In other words, you know you've missed it possibly a million times in a certain area, whether it's how you relate in yourself to God, prayers being answered, how you feel about your responses to people, whether or not you're consistent or whether you're inconsistent. These are the kind of things here where, as we're talking tonight, I really want you to begin to locate yourself, because we want to get a better handle of ourselves. We want to have a greater consistency in the way that we're able to feel like we've been down this path, we know what we're doing, we know how to make choices and decisions that produce good results. We want that to begin to happen in all areas of our life, and grace is there to help make that happen.
And what you have to understand, folks, is all of us, I mean, if you're, there's a family by Yosemite in Mariposa. Will's the dad, Julianne is the mom, their son is Patrick. They got 2 daughters, Victoria and Gabriella. They're fixing dinner, so they're having dinner and a show.
Oh, cool.
We better make it good. We don't want to give them gas or,
upset them.
Projectile vomiting or anything. Yeah. I guess we better. They didn't tell us what was on the menu, but they're having dinner.
Okay.
But each of us have our own choices. We have our own little picadillos about our personality.
Yeah, for sure.
And we have to deal with those. It's fine that the whole family in Mariposa is listening, but at the same time, all of you on your own need to say, this is something in me that's in my way. This is something about me that I don't particularly care for. And you don't have to shout it out. You don't have to get a t-shirt that says, hi, this is me and this is what's wrong with me. That's not the point. The point is that you acknowledge that it's in your way. And what's wonderful about listening, enjoying the show with a family is that you get to see each other's progress. You get to see how grace grows in each other and how the guys flow through each other to see. It's like a family is a bouquet of different flowers, and you're all going to bloom at a different time.
Sure.
with your own colors.
And in different ways, yep.
Folks, we want some feedback tonight. The way you get into the show tonight is with emails. It's the name of Jim's show, The Abiding Presence, at the letter G, as in Grandma's Gravy, gmail.com. Or you can send a text message. The first word that you have to type in your text message is grace. Once you type the word grace, then you make your comment or question. When you press the send button, there's no one, there's no area code. It's just five numbers, 69302. That's 69302. Also, if you look on the abidingpresence.com website on the contacts page, you can find out how to do this. Okay, we got a message here from Tatiana Weaver. You know the Weaver kids?
Uh-huh.
It says, "Hi, glad you are back, Jim. BJ wouldn't let us have any fun."
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, it's obviously past that girl's bedtime. And it says, we got a message. It says, "Thanks for warning that we're headed for the divine woodshed."
Is that Ed?
No, that's from, I don't know who that's from. They didn't sign their name.
Okay.
And then we got one from Will that said, "Will and family listening live again tonight, fixing dinner and eating around the radio, looking forward to practical Christianity that works, Will and family, from Mariposa, home of Yosemite." That's Yosemite Park. That's not Yosemite Sam, for you people out there that are geographically handicapped. All right. I'm going to read this question.
Yeah, I think it's good.
What this is this question is from someone who has who's made big strides in changing who they are, the choices they make, the life they lead, the people that they hang around with. I mean, they've really cut themselves a wide swath and a big row to hoe. And they've been hoeing that row just fine. They're doing well. And they asked a question, and I told them I was going to read it on the show, I'm going to read what they wrote. I'm not going to tell you who it is, just out of privacy's sake. It just says, "I'm just dumb, but you tell me to pray and be thankful for grace and to look for grace. My question is, what exactly am I looking for? Are we talking about just good things happening? Things that would appear as good luck? Of course, I don't believe in luck. I believe if I really understood grace, it would help. You make it sound so simple, and I am probably making it too hard. Can you help me? I will be listening to the show tonight." So that was the question that they asked. Now, that's a question that a lot of people could easily,
sure,
easily ask. What you have to understand, folks, is you've gotten used to choosing when you're going to get up, when you're going to go to bed, when you're going to get something to drink, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, how you're going to sit. You multitask all the time as you're driving.
Right.
Your eyes are blinking. Your tongue is moving. You're listening to the radio. You're sending text messages. You're talking on your phone. You're looking at people in other cars. When you're watching TV, you'll flick from one channel to the other. So you're already conditioned to multitask, to have all kinds of information coming in at once, and you can sort it out and you can deal with it, and you're making choices. So if someone makes you feel like you don't have the skills or intelligence or experience to deal with grace, to locate grace and use grace, they're wrong. Because the day-to-day world requires monumental, 1,000, 10,000, 1,000,000 times more focus than grace does.
Mm-hmm.
Because grace is natural. Grace is the love of Christ. We are made in his image.
Right.
So obviously, it's going to be as simple as blinking your eyes, as wiggling your finger.
Right.
As licking your lips. Of just open up your mouth and going, blah, 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 blah. That's how easy grace is. Because it's something that we all have. The problem is that it's been through the centuries. We're talking 2,000 years of intentional misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
And 2,000 years of organizations that want money and dedication and politics and monarchs and kingdoms that they've taken away what was so natural. Think back to when Jesus was walking around with his 12 buddies. They asked nothing of someone. All someone had to do was have an open heart and an open mind to realize that there was an alternative to what they were living.
Right, sure.
There was an alternative to their lifestyle. It didn't require clothes. It didn't require intelligence. It didn't require anything. Remember, you have to understand that the majority of the people that were healed, the majority of the people that accepted Christ as their Savior, they didn't read, they didn't write, they had one set of sandals and one set of clothes.
Right.
Most of them, if they had a roof over their head, they didn't own it.
Mm-hmm.
They would have one meal a day, and they had to work all day long to earn it or make it. They had no material possessions other than a couple of candles and their family.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, it has nothing to do with material possessions, education, or personal appearance. They had very little water, so they weren't exactly taking a shower in the morning and at night. But yet they had grace. They were drowning and swimming in grace.
Yeah, I think some of the things I took out of what you just said goes back to what Paul said over there in 2 Corinthians in 4 and 18, where he talked about not getting your eyes and your thoughts and your focus on things that are changing, things that are seen, but get your thoughts and focus, your emotions on things that don't change. So if you look at that, look at the difference of all the variableness that's in the earth and in the world. Things that are changing constantly. I mean, you can even be on a job and someone tells you that this is what you need to do. And so you do it and then they come up and say, no, that's wrong. You say, well, I did it just like you wanted me to do. Well, yeah, but under these circumstances, it changes. Things are changing all the time. Things are moving and being manipulated all the time. But in God, God's grace, it's the same. It's constant. It's with you at all times. If you just look at the disciples walking with Jesus, he was with them at all times. He didn't change. He wasn't one way one day and another way the next day. The same way it is with grace. In fact, look at Peter and the disciples when they came back from fishing. It was too late now to fish because the sun was up.
Right.
And Jesus looks at him and he says, hey, throw your net on the other side. And Peter basically, I don't see him being disrespectful, but basically pops off and says, we kind of know how to fish, and we've been doing it all morning, and we haven't caught anything. So why would we want to do that basically now when fish aren't out? And then he catches himself and he says, nevertheless, but because you've said to do it, I'll do it. And they throw their nets over on the other side at the wrong time, in the wrong place, and fish come flying into the nets and they can't even bring them in. There's so many fish. Now look at the difference there. The variables were what? The time of day, the sun is out, we've already tried this, we don't have any fish. But the constants were God's always with you, grace is always the same. They throw their nets over when it's not supposed to work, and look where grace is. It's there. It's not supposed to be hard. It's supposed to be all the time, isn't it?
It is, and I'm going to give you the best example, well, maybe not the best, but the most current example I can give you when I talk about being weak and limiting your choices. It just so happens that right now I'm literally the only person on the ranch.
Well, I'm here.
Well, I mean work-wise.
Oh.
And through nothing to do with the ranch, but everybody is either sick or hurt, not from the ranch, but in their own lives.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all calling in saying, I'm really sorry, but
right,
I can't come to work. And so for the last 3 days, I've been all on my own. So it's been really busy. So Monday morning, somebody's got to do garbage. Well, it's just me and Ranger. And the last couple of days here in this part of the country, we've had unusually high winds. I'm not talking 10 or 15. I'm talking consistent 30 to 40 mile an hour winds with huge gusts. So anyways, I'm driving with a UTV. That's like a four-wheeler with a seat and a steering wheel. I've got some garbage cans full of garbage in the back. I take a turn, and as soon as I take a turn, I look at Ranger and I said, the wind. And I took that turn, and it put these plastic garbage cans full of garbage right in the path of the wind. And a gust of wind took one of the garbage cans and pushed it right off the four-wheeler onto the ground. And there is household garbage everywhere. It's swirling 5 feet up in the air.
Right.
And it's starting to scatter all over the place. Okay, the first thought that came into my mind, because we're talking about weakness and our choices, it's a 30, 40 mile an hour wind. They're talking about it on the news. They're showing power lines are down and trees and things are flowing. So the first thought that anybody is going to have, there's no way I can clean this up. There's going to be garbage scattered. I'll be picking this up all day long. I had that thought for a second and I said, no, that is stupid. I'm not going to think like that. And I said, I am so glad that you guys are going to take care of this for me. You guys aren't too busy, and I'm here on the ranch by myself. You might as well do some cleanup for me.
Right.
Thank you very much. Amen. Appreciate your help. And I'm talking to Jesus. I'm talking to God. I'm talking to the Holy Spirit and grace. I'm talking and I'm saying, you guys take care of this. I got enough on my plate. And as windy as it was, the smallest pieces of paper plates, you can, you know, just terrible household garbage. It never moved in the wind. It took me less than 2 minutes to walk around and pick it all up. I even took one of the paper plates and threw it up into the air. And it landed right in front of me and it didn't go anywhere. And at the same time, leaves are going by like they're powered with motorcycle engines. And I picked up all this garbage, put it back in the can, drove over to the dumpster, and I dumped these cans. That's grace. And the point of the story is not to talk about how much grace is on the ranch. The point of the story isn't that the guys were on garbage detail, because that's what it was, and that's what I expected of them. The point of this is weakness, how I was willing to submit and say, I am royally screwed.
This plastic garbage can is going to roll in the wind.
Right.
I'm going to have garbage scattered over 80 acres of hay ground. Me and Ranger will spend the rest of the morning hours walking around, and I'm going to go to pick up a piece of paper, and the wind is going to send it another 10 feet from me. And I don't have any help. I'm here all alone. Because really, that is a natural thought, is it not?
Yeah.
It would make sense to have those thoughts because it's happened before. You've seen it before, and you know that's exactly what is supposed to happen. That is the weakness of man.
Right.
That is the weakness of the flesh and of the world. Because a person who acknowledges that their grace, if grace is going to cure cancer, if grace is going to fix a broken leg, if grace can part the Red Sea, then really, how much of an effort is it for Christ to make it easy for someone to fix their own mistake?
Right, right.
Yeah. That's the point of weakness. This is the kind of weakness that that we want to talk about. Did you like that story?
Yeah, I do. And I got a scripture here that goes right along with it. God over in 2 Corinthians 12 was teaching Paul something. Paul was talking about his weaknesses because everywhere Paul went, negative energies, Satan, would stir up weak-minded people to come against Paul. That happens all the time.
Yeah.
People, I mean, you say something or you demonstrate the wonders of Christ, and somebody ends up rising up to say, well, I don't like that, and I think that's wrong, or they end up having a real negative opinion of things and try to throw a negative light on something that's really good. Well, this happened in Paul's life multiple times, and Paul had a pedigree of things that actually happened to him, like he was dead three or four times from being stoned and shipwrecked three times and in the deep four or five times and in hunger and sleeplessness and starving and all kinds of different things Paul went through. And it says here in the eighth verse that three times he called upon the Lord and besought him about this and begged him that it would depart, that all this harassment would leave. And this is the reply he got from God. It said in verse 9, but he said, my grace is enough for you, or sufficient. For my strength and power are made perfect, fulfilled and completed, and show themselves most effective in your weakness. Therefore, I will all the more gladly glory, this is what Paul said, I will all the more gladly glory in my weakness, that the strength and power of Christ may rest, and then it says here, may pitch a tent over me and dwell upon me. And he goes on to say this, so for the sake of Christ, I am well pleased and take pleasure in these weaknesses, for when I am weak in human strength, then I truly am strong and am empowered by God's strength. So Paul's saying the exact same thing, but God had to teach him this lesson, that when you're weak, when these variables come, and you can't do anything about it, or your character lacks, that's when to give up. That's not when to take over.
And the reason negative energy, that hell, that Satan loves when you literally go for a weak choice, when you succumb to weakness, the reason it likes it is because think of the attitude, okay? Think of what I could have done. Someone could have said, hey, BJ, how's your day going? Well, I don't have any help on the ranch. I'm here by myself.
Yeah,
there's too much for me to do. I couldn't do anything this morning because the stupid wind is blowing so much that garbage was scattered halfway over the northeastern part of the ranch, and me and Ranger just lost half a day picking up trash. I'm in no mood to mess with anything. I'm just swamped, because that sounds like it makes sense.
Yeah.
Because even though I'm complaining and I'm kind of whining, it is true. I'm at the ranch by myself. I'm overwhelmed with work. The wind did inconvenience me, make me off schedule, make me do work and take away from other more important things to do. And why wouldn't I? What reason would I have to look at that and say, I'm not buying it? I'm not going to think that way. I'm not weak. I'm strong. I'm strong in the love of Christ. And so instead, what do? I enjoy grace because it gives me the attitude and the confidence that through the day, I'm thinking, well, if grace is willing to pick up garbage, I'm pretty sure they're going to help me with horses and servicing the tractor and doing all the other things that need to be done on the ranch. And so it gives you the confidence of grace. And before you know it, you're noticing grace everywhere. And you're just walking around saying, there you go. There's grace. Thank you. I appreciate the help. And then all of a sudden, you have a very pleasant attitude. And when someone says, hey, how's your day going? Well, the wind blew garbage everywhere. I haven't had any help in 3 days. And they'd say, well, you're certainly taking it well. I'd be beside myself. I'd be mad. I wouldn't know what to do. It sounds like you're having a terrible time. And I'm going, no, it's a great day. And they're going to say, I don't understand why it would sure bother me. I feel bad and it isn't even happening to me. See, this is the weakness of the world. This is what we talk about on the show, negative energy. Satan, how hell sucks you in. And see, these are the things that keep you from answered prayers. It's not the gambling or the alcohol or the adultery or stealing or abusing animals. That's pretty obvious that the wheels are off the wagon. But when you're paying when you're going to school and doing your homework, when you're helping out around the house, when you're going to your job and you don't feel good, and you're paying your bills and you're worried about your credit rating and you're a good parent and a good neighbor and a good father and you're a good son and you're doing all the things you're supposed to and still grace has not availed it to itself. This is a hurdle for people.
Right.
This is the weakness where they say, I don't get it. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to. I'm working my fingers to the bone. I'm the best person I can be. And I've read scripture and I've listened to that stupid radio show on the internet. And I'm not getting anything for my trouble. And it's because of the weakness to accept what the flesh and the world dictates.
Yeah. You know, while you're talking there, I'm reminded of especially being in the circles where I'm around and have come from in my past, of course, different circles of what we might call the word of faith and different and wonderful people. And I'm not saying anything against individuals by any means, but just the mentality of the doctrine, of the way that things spin. I think of so many even friends that I have that would be saying constantly in the midst of something like that, BJ, that you experienced, they'd be saying, thank you, Jesus, oh, help me, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. And there would be a real pleading for the Lord to be involved. They might even be saying another scripture like, you know, the joy of the Lord is my strength, the joy of the Lord is my strength. But the fact of taking command of your world in that moment where you diffuse the idea that anything is wrong so that grace can help you. Because here's the interesting thing. The greatest deterrent is that you actually buy in so much to the idea that there is something wrong that grace can't help. And that's some of the difference that you'll find from what we're talking about here today and tonight. That really makes a difference. Instead of just quoting a scripture, instead of just saying, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, like a rabbit's foot, and you're trying to say it enough times. And this is well-meaning people that do love the Lord as far as they know. Why not stop for a moment and look at what you're buying into, take a step back from it, realize how ridiculous it is, and make a decision to say, no, this can't upset me. Grace is everywhere. And instead of just acting like now you won an award because you stepped back and didn't buy into it, now include God in the process. Let him help you. Let him empower you. Let him be involved. And this is where I really want people that are listening, especially if you're coming from any type of circles like I have in my past, I really want you to begin to open up your eyes to the idea that God actually wants to do stuff with you. So when you pull yourself back and you recognize, I'm getting ready to buy into some things that someone just said to me. Why would I lower myself to do that? Those variables that I can't even control. Why not put my faith in God who doesn't change? All right, Holy Spirit, go ahead and take over right here. All right, Grace, let me just see how you do it. Include them into the process. Don't just pull back from something that you could buy into. Let God begin to do something for you. There's really, really a great way for us to experience God here. I really think that this show is going to be a good show tonight. Any of the housekeeping that we need to do, just kind of talking over emails and text messages and...
There it is, folks. There's your warning. We're getting close to some activities and homework assignments. Boy, that just came out of nowhere.
Kind of did.
I hate that sometimes. I think, oh, great, they're raiding a ranch again.
You know what I thought of first?
Did you like that? Again.
I thought maybe the biker family was grandma and grandpa were going too fast, and you had to
turn the siren on. This is a special message to the outlaw bikers, grandma and grandpa in Morgan Hill, California. Just a personal message from me to you, grandma and grandpa. I don't do bail money. You're on your own. We got a couple of emails here. We haven't had one single text message tonight.
Huh.
I wonder if it's working.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Let's see. Text message, create. Let's see. Send. Let's see. 69302. You know, it's hard to text on this phone. You know, my cell phone's 12 years old now. Okay. Sending text message. Can you hear that feedback?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah. Let's see if it popped. Yeah, it's working. It just popped up on the screen. Okay, we got some emails here. We got one email that says, hey, Ranger and her studio help. Hey, if you're new to the show, Ranger is a 9-year-old chocolate Labrador retriever. She's sleeping right next to me here on a saddle blanket. Great show tonight, guys. Really enjoying with my youngest son who is in town from Charleston, South Carolina. Love the topic tonight, really helping us think more and more like the spirit beings we are. Thanks, and keep up the great work, Breakfast Ed. And then he says, P.S., probably need a break, or probably need a dance break soon. We do. We dance on this show, just a warning. Oh, we got our first text. Great show. Thank you very much. It says, let's see, this is a the question I read.
Yeah.
The person sent a reply email. It said, "I get it. I have been making it too hard. I've even been using grace and didn't realize it."
Yeah, sure. Most of us have.
Yeah. Now to really pay attention to what grace is doing. Well, see, that's good. If any, I'm glad. And then, let's see. Oh, it says, I'm sorry, Jim and BJ. In my excitement, I forgot to thank you for the answer. And Ranger, too. So that's from the person that sent in that question.
Good.
It says, why is that? Why would you say it is that if we think or acknowledge there's a problem, we hinder grace by thinking or acting that way? This is from Chris.
Why is it?
He says, why is that? Question mark. Why would you say it is that if we think or acknowledge there is a problem, we hinder grace by thinking or acting that way?
Yeah, well, remember, even Chris, in case you want scripture for that, remember 2 Corinthians in chapter 10, 4 and 5 says, for our weapons are not are mighty and not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, demolishing arguments and pretensions and things that set themselves up against the knowledge of God. In other words, taking all your thoughts and your imaginations and holding them true to what's right, holding them true to the joy of being with grace, holding them true to the fact that God's with you, and why in the world would there be all kinds of negative things going against you? And if negative things are, why would it really even bother you? See, these are the type of things that people don't think about. They just think about huge catastrophes. But these are the little things that actually become walls They become right. hindrances. And that's one of the reasons, well, one of the great reasons why, if your mind is always going to go that direction, then maybe that's exactly how you think. Remember the scripture, and I'll give you one more, that says over there, Jesus said it about where your treasure is, there your heart is also. The Message Bible says, where your treasure is where you will most want to be and where you will find yourself being.
And see, I'm going to add something to this.
Yeah.
Here's where semantics and vocabulary can be a stumbling block. Okay, say that again.
Where your treasure is where you will most want to be and where you will find yourself being.
Okay, what you have to understand is, when they use the word treasure, they're not talking about bass boats or motorcycles or snowmobiles or vacation homes. They're literally treasure. They're talking about what is important to you.
Yeah.
And that can be family. It can be kids.
Sure.
It can be family. It can be work. It could be my dog Ranger or the horses here on the ranch or my new field sprayer or the manure spreader. It can be what they're talking about is whatever you value, whatever is important to you, perhaps is getting in your way to see the greater picture of grace.
Now, well, you use the word value, but you realize in a negative world that we're in, people value very highly the negativity and the wrong and the drama of life, and that's really where they find their energy going.
Well, it's kind of addictive. You know, if you have a favorite dessert, whether it's pudding jello, ice cream, carrot cake, whatever it is, you never say no, and you're always receptive to it. Well, as receptive as we are to our favorite dessert or our favorite beverage, we're also just as welcoming and receptive to the negative energy that we've subscribed to over years.
Yeah, right. It becomes normal for us.
It becomes very normal to think that you're going to get up, it's going to be another bad day.
Right.
I hate my job. I hate my boss. I don't want to go to school because there's a test today. I don't want to go over to my parents' house because I've always got to fix something. Oh, I can't believe I have to drive this car to work when everybody else around me has got new cars. We literally subscribe to this type of thinking that can get in the way. And so, and you have to remember, there's nothing good of the world, there's nothing good of the flesh. So if you are literally focusing your attention and your thoughts, your emotions and feelings to what is temporary and fleeting
right.
of the flesh and the world,
right.
where is there even room for you to think about grace?
Yeah, and I'll say it like this too. It's as though the concern, the worry, and anxiety is a self-fulfilling prophecy for what hasn't happened but what you're sure will.
Well,
and that's using your imagination for negativity.
The greatest endless boundless love of Christ, and I've told you this before in private.
Right.
The only mistake that the guys have ever made is free will choice. Because as much as we can love Christ, and as much as we can benefit from grace, they gave us the same energy level to get sucked up in the world. And so I like to tell people, the amount of energy and time and exuberance you have for the dramas and the issues of your life, you literally have that much potential to enjoy grace.
Yeah.
And that's the only mistake that, in my opinion, the guys made is they gave equal energy potential. You can succumb to the world and the flesh as easily as you can give to God in grace.
Yeah, I remember this one guy was mad at me because he was saying that I wish faith wasn't so difficult. It makes living for God so hard. And I told him, and I made the comment, I said, I think you're probably one of the greatest faith people I know. And he looked at me really cross-eyed, you know, and cross. And I said, the reason why I said that is because I don't know anybody that can get in more accidents, that can have more trouble from one trouble to another trouble every single week than you. And I said, I asked him, I said, is there any difference between having a truck in reverse and driving all day long or having it in forward all day long? Yeah. He said, well, the only difference is what gear you got it in. I said, you're driving your truck in reverse better than most people drive their trucks in forward. I said, it's no difference. It's what you subscribe to. Your faith is working perfectly. It's just working in the negative. So you're right. I mean, these are the things that really hamstring people.
Many years ago, I mean, a long time ago, I was in college at the time, and there was this girl that she was a barrel racer, and she was just drop-dead gorgeous. And whenever she saw me, I was always covered with dirt, hadn't shaved in a couple days, you know, because I just would go to class in the chore truck. Uh-huh. The truck I used to drive to college didn't have a driver's door. It didn't have a windshield or a tailgate, and a couple fenders were missing. It was an old Chevy Dually from the ranch.
Uh-huh.
And I used to love to park it next to the BMWs and the Porsches,
right?
You know, in the student parking lot. And so, you know, people thought I must be a gardener. You know, they didn't, unless they were in one of my classes, they didn't even know I went to school there. And so I couldn't impress her at all. And we started talking one day, and she was talking about, she says, I'd like to talk to you about Jesus, you know. And I said, you know, something like, oh, you know, let's not, you know, let's talk about horses. And she says, well, she went to prayer, she went to Bible study, she went to Sunday school, and then there was a meeting. I mean, literally every day of the week, she was participating at her local building or structure.
Right.
And she literally, you know, and I was counting the hours. And I mean, if she wasn't at school, she was at a religious function, you know. And she says, wouldn't you like to go to heaven and be with Jesus? And I literally said this. I go, no, that's too much work. I'd rather go to hell. You know, when she just looked at me and I said, hell is easy. I just have to be me. I don't have to do anything. I says, if you got paid by the hour for all the time you're going and doing all this religious service stuff, I says, you'd be a really rich person. Well, of course, you know, she just gave me a dirty look and, you know.
Right.
That was the end of it.
Sure.
She gave me dirty looks for years.
Hmm.
You know, I guess she just thought, oh, there's the devil. There's the devil in that beat-up truck with no door or windshield.
Right.
But, I mean, the point is that look at what the effort she was putting in.
Yeah.
And it, you don't – why put effort – I mean, come on, folks. If you really subscribe to Scripture and it talks about the sacrifice of Jesus – and his blood washes away all of your sins, past, present, and future.
Yeah.
And ask and you shall receive, and all your sins are forgiven. What exactly do you think, how much effort are you really supposed to put out?
I want to read two scriptures here. I want to get your thoughts.
Well, we got a text verse says, that was helpful. Please give us more examples. I think they're talking about, I don't know what they're talking about, but probably talking about the show. And it says, my takeaway from that is by acknowledging it, we're essentially choosing it. Is that accurate?
Well, yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's the person that asked the question,
Chris,
on what.
Right.
Okay, we got another one here. It says, shout out to Breakfast Nick, who's in town from Charleston, celebrating his dad's recovery from a terrible week-long illness. After days and days of prayer chains, doctor's appointments, healing lines at multiple churches, and pill bottles, God came through for him. Welcome back to the life of the living. And this is, it says Living Breakfast Ed, and this is from Mulligan Tim.
Okay, good.
Who's Breakfast Nick?
I don't know.
Maybe that's Forklift Nick.
Forklift Nick.
I don't know. But, okay, read your now. Well, where are they again?
Because this is over in Proverbs, and Proverbs 16:32 first.
Okay,
But I'm going to read both of them because they both say the same thing in a different way, okay? And then I want to integrate this thought into what we're talking about. Okay, Proverbs 16:32-33, it says, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." Okay, now Proverbs 25:28. "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls." So those two parts that go together are, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls, and he who rules his spirit is better than he who takes a city. So I want to put a little time into this, because this fits perfectly into the discussion. And I'm going to just open it up like this. Of course, I'll hear what BJ has to say for it in just a minute. But, you know, we talk so much about the authority of the believer. But the authority of the believer comes really back down to your ability to have a sense of authority or confidence about your own life. The ability to know where you're going and to know that you'll get there. The ability to make a choice and a decision and know that it's accurate. These are the kind of areas that if we don't have working in our everyday life, how can you integrate the authority that Christ gives us if the authority of our own life won't work on its own? BJ, any thoughts about that?
Say that again.
How can we integrate the authority that Christ gives us if we don't have some sense of authority in our own life? And that's where those two scriptures came in. He who rules his spirit is better than he that takes a city, and he that has no rule over his spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls.
Well, you're stuck. You can't.
Well, I know. And that I want to incorporate this into what we're saying, because it comes back to the weaknesses that we've grown up with, where we allow these insecurities to really take over the real heart and soul of what we're all about. In other words, on the outside, we may be praising the Lord.
Right.
We may be saying, "Thank you, Jesus," but there's no connection ever.
Right.
Because inside, there's nothing that has confidence.
Yeah. I haven't brought this up a little bit. I always like to tell people that to think of the book as it's exactly like the Betty Crocker cookbook. You have two people, they're neighbors, they live next door to each other. They both went to a bookstore and they bought the huge 100-pound, 1,000-page original Betty Crocker cookbook. All right. They go out and they get the cooking utensils. They remodel their kitchens. They go out and spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars on stocking the freezer, the refrigerator, and the pantry full of all kinds of ingredients. But here's the difference. The one neighbor reads that cookbook cover to cover, knows every recipe, every oven, stove, every thermometer temperature, knows it cover to cover, reads it, recites it, worships it. Polishes the pots and pans. Always is getting more and more ingredients in the freezer, in the pantry for recipes. But never fires up the stove. Never even has to wash a pot, pan, or plate because they don't cook. And their Betty Crocker cookbook looks brand new, like it's still on the bookshelf stores. The next door neighbor, well, that neighbor's had a couple grease fires, slipped on some flour, sprained her wrist. There's a couple pages that had to be scotch taped back in the book. Some pages of the cookbook are stuck together from jellies, jams, and maple syrup. There's writing all over the pages. The pots and pans are dented and scratched. The refrigerator is full of leftovers. The freezer and the pantry are half empty. And the garbage cans are full of empty food packages. outside the house. In other words, that person has been cooking up a storm. That person read that Betty Crocker cookbook, and they're trying all the recipes in the book, one right after another. Even if they aren't hungry, just for something to do, they're trying a recipe. And they are just rocking and rolling. If you are Betty Crocker, who would you want to have a conversation with? Who would you have more to relate to? The person that worships your book and has never tried to cook anything? Or the person that wants to have a conversation with Betty Crocker because they decided that it's really kind of neat to add chocolate chips to this one cookie recipe? Because they're taking what was in the book and expanding and growing. Because just like in the Bible, perhaps there's a passage in the Betty Crocker cookbook that says, "You will do greater works than me." Now, apply what I've just said to what we're talking about tonight and the choices and where you put your efforts and what you buy into. We got a text here that says, Nick is Breakfast Ed's son.
Oh, okay.
And Mulligan Tim may be drinking again. So apparently, I don't know who sent this because it's a text message.
Right.
Well, see, Breakfast Ed never said what his son's name was. All the time people say, oh, the whole family's here, and they never give us their names. They'll tell us what their dog's name is, but they don't tell us what their... So Nick is Breakfast Ed's son.
Yeah.
From Charleston.
Okay.
And apparently people are worried about Mulligan Tim and his, you know... Well, just remember, folks, nobody had more issues with alcohol than Jesus because the man went around turning water into wine. I like that joke. I love saying that to ministers because the blood leaves their face and they start to hyperventilate. What? Jesus? Drinking problem? What? I go, well, the guy went around turning water into wine. He's not exactly abstaining, is he? You know me, gas on fire. Gas on fire is my hobby. Gas on fire. Folks, you know, there comes a time in the show when you just have to relax. And here it is. You want to move the furniture out of the way. You want to stand up. You're in your own home. If you're not strong enough to get up and dance and move, stomp your feet and clap in your own home, how do you really expect to have the strength and the nerve and the bravery to try to trap or try to tap into grace out in public? Here it is, folks. It's time to do some exercise. Jesus loves this song.
I got to get up tonight.
It's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah.
When I was recording this, I was dancing. Come on, folks. Do a little moving around. Jump around. Also, give you a warning. We're getting close to the homework assignment. Thank you. on, folks. Dance. I know. Hey, Jim, we'll do it just like those one churches. Everybody dance for Jesus. Why are you shaking your leg like that? You got a cramp? That's a dumb dance. Sit down. You're freaking me out.
Oh, that felt a little better.
You were standing there, leaning against the side of the barn, shaking your leg.
Well, it's because I worked out the other day, and I'm sore, so I had to get up and try to get some of that soreness out.
Well,
it was a good time. We got music for it.
Think about Grace. Hello?
I
What's the deal? No, instead of choosing Grace, you just want to scare me and my dog. I didn't know. I thought you were having some kind of, I don't know, some kind of seizure or something from.
Oh, right.
You know,
yeah.
I don't know. Some kind of city boy seizure or something going on. Okay, folks. I don't even. How many weeks has it been now? Three or four?
It's been a full three.
Okay, folks. It's time for you to get that homework assignment. For you that are new to the show, I want to say welcome. You can call, not call, you can send an email to the show. It's the name of Jim's radio show, The Abiding Presence, at G, the letter G, gmail.com. You can send us a text. The first word that you type in your text is the word grace, and then your comment or question. And then when you press the send button, you send it to 69302. Okay, folks, get that list out. A few weeks ago, the homework assignment was to take a piece of paper and a pencil and write down literally at that moment in time what bothered you, what worried you, whether it was something really small like what are you going to have for dinner, or you were worried about the next day at school or work, or like a really big problem. Whatever it was, you were to list all of your problems and worries on this piece of paper. And then a week or two went by, and the homework assignment was to take a new piece of paper and to write down all of your worries on that Tuesday evening.
Right.
Well, tonight, the homework assignment is drag those pieces of paper out. We asked people not to share them with their family and friends. It was their list, a personal list, just to put it away. Okay, the point of those lists is tonight, read those lists and see what you were worried and what you were concerned about. And you might find it kind of interesting to see that if you were really honest with yourself and you were really upfront, that you put things on that list that now that you look back a few weeks mean nothing. It's no big deal. And you'll also see that there are things on your list that perhaps you wrote that you were worried about, that maybe you still have concerns. And still, nothing has changed. So in other words, for the 3 or 4 weeks that you've been worried and concerned about that, that was literally lost time from grace.
Yeah.
Because instead of dancing and enjoying grace and walking around, really enjoying the glories of the planet, and your family and friends, and what time you have, you were consumed by whatever the worry is that you listed.
Yeah.
That was the point of this homework assignment, to show you the futility of man, to show you the worthlessness of really getting all worked up. I was taught at a very young age, because of being around farm equipment and livestock, and agriculture is right up there. It's not number one, but it's in like the top 10 of most dangerous occupations on the planet. That if something isn't bleeding, if it's something isn't on fire, then it's really not that big of a deal. It's about prioritizing. Well, as a Christian, as a child of God, it's also about priorities. Are your priorities of the flesh and of the world, or are your priorities of grace and of Christ? Where is your tension? Where is your desire? There is scripture after scripture after scripture, and even more scripture, where literally somebody literally told someone, look, drop your fishing nets, don't go home, don't pack a bag, don't send a text message, just come with me. Moses, forget about those thousands of people that are following you across the desert. Don't worry about your family. Tell your brother to take care of everything. Why don't you just go on a little camping trip with me?
Yeah.
There is nothing but examples of no matter what seemed a priority, no matter what seemed important, no matter what seemed vital, had nothing to do with communicating with God.
Yeah, well, don't you think the day that we're living in promotes people making their own lives too important?
Well, I do, and something that's hard for people to consider is that if you really get absolute about Scripture, everybody listening to this radio show is literally considered a Pharisee, a monarch, a king, a queen, a wealthy, rich person.
Mm-hmm.
Because when Jesus was walking around and the Son of Man was representing his Father, the majority of the people had one sandal, one set of clothes.
Right.
They had nothing. They were literally living in poverty.
Right.
And they were under the control of richer, wealthier people. Everybody listening to this radio show has food available to them. Probably has more than one pair of shoes and probably has more than three or four sets of clothing.
Right.
A lot of people have more than one vehicle in the driveway. They're warm in the winter, they're cool in the summer, and within reason, if they want to go buy a sandwich or they want to go buy a pair of shoes, they can do it. They can come up with the money to do that. So what they don't realize is when they read Scripture and they read into things, they have to realize that the common man that Scripture talks about really doesn't apply to the life that we all lead.
Yeah. Yeah.
I live on hundreds and hundreds of acres. I have more than one pickup truck. I've got a lot of room for a guy living with a dog. And if I want to buy something, I can eventually save and go get it.
Right.
What about that is an ordinary person?
Hmm.
It isn't. And at the same time, look at my priorities. Look what we want to maintain, what we think is important. That's why I say that when you say, well, I'm not killing anybody, I haven't stolen anything, I haven't kicked a dog today, I'm a really good person. Where in the world is grace?
Right.
Well, at the same time, how much did you think about your bills, your family, your a raise at work, how you saw a commercial for a new machine and you just got to get rid of your old cell phone so you can get the new cell phone? How right. much time have you logged? How much effort are you in achieving those goals?
Sure.
Why aren't you taking that time? I actually had somebody on your Facebook, Jim, literally, he posted on your Facebook and he literally said, well, the reason you have so much time for grace is because all you have is some horses and a dog on a big ranch. If you had a family and kids, you wouldn't have that much time for grace. So in other words, that man literally said that since he's a father and a homeowner, that he's unavailable to grace.
Right.
He's literally said that his kids are keeping him from Christ. That's messed up thinking.
Yeah, because it doesn't, it has nothing to do with having a family and kids. Certainly, there's things that you do pertain to. There's things that you do give yourself to. But my goodness, we've just been talking tonight about how real grace is, how it's supposed to be easy, how it's everywhere, how it's not supposed to be difficult, how that even the testimony that was given in the writing of the email that said, I see it, thank you, I appreciate your explanation, which leads me to see that I've actually been experiencing grace more than I know. All of that is a part of what we're endeavoring to do is get people to open their eyes up to how real God is.
And look at your homework assignment, folks. Look at those lists that you made. And think about the worries that you wrote down and what you thought was important and where is that now. And if it's something like an illness or something that grace is ready, willing, and able and would have already taken care of for you, you have to ask yourself, why are you still think it's an issue? Why are you still dealing with it? Why are you still making a flat surface, not into a molehill, but a mountain? We got an email that came in 20 minutes ago. It says, if you have gotten so good at using your faith for negative, please give some examples for how to turn it around to positive. Well, the positive, go ahead.
It's the same energy.
It's okay.
There's no difference in saying a bad word versus saying a good word, a kind word versus being mean. So the only difference is we're so aware of and so conscious of negativity that on one hand it makes it easier, but it's not.
If I'd have to see when you witness grace taking something negative out of the reality that the world we live in, it doesn't get any better than that.
No.
I guess if you would say, please give some examples for how to turn it around to positive, the positive is when you see other people using grace. When you literally are sitting in a red light and everybody is freaking out because they're going to be late for work, and all of a sudden you realize that there's a nice song on the radio, and you happen to see some birds sitting in a branch of a tree on the side of the road that you've never noticed before. There are wondrous things that can put a smile on your face.
Yes.
That people don't think of because they're too busy to think of them.
Okay, on the way here, I had just gotten through a possible frustration of, I told you about the Wi-Fi. It's not working like it ought to. We'll have no problem getting it fixed, but I like to fix things when I can. If there's one frustration I have, is trying to fix something that I know I don't really totally know about, but I can figure it out, but it's going to take me two or three times longer to figure it out than if I had help to do it or had someone do it. That's a very frustrating thing for me. So endeavoring to work on that Wi-Fi, I just had to let go, because you know exactly what we're talking about. You have to let go before you get so involved, you find your day is ruined. And on the way here, momentarily, I thought about that. And I said to the Lord, I said, no, I forget it. It's a ridiculous. What does it really mean? It means absolutely nothing. And the moment I said that, I turned my head as I was coming across the bridge there at the Arkansas River, looked over, and there was the most beautiful, and it was not your normal sunset. It was the most beautiful high yellows with certain clouds. It was like a picture painted just for me. And I said, Lord, there's my evidence right there. Why would I even think that something so minuscule could affect me?
What helps me a lot is that is this perspective, that why would not Christ make sure that I can be available to have a conversation with the guys? Why wouldn't grace make sure that I could be in contact with grace as much as I want? It doesn't make sense, does it, that well, my job is too important and my bills are too important and they're in the way? Because think of this for a second. That doesn't make any sense, that if you're trying and you want to spend time with the guys, that they're not going to make sure that your road is clear, that there's nothing on your to-do list, that nothing's going to get in the way of you communicating with them and connecting with your true Father? Does that make any sense, that there's something more powerful than God? I mean, his power is endless and boundless, and his whole job is to shower us with love.
Right.
But yet, I've got that to-do list on the refrigerator that's trumping God's power.
I've got a family, and so now I can't have grace. Listen, this verse, Proverbs 3:6, is exactly what BJ's talking about. It says, "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths." God wants to be a part of your past. He wants you to have an amazing life. And the fact that he wants you to acknowledge him in all your ways, that can only mean that he is not only willing, not only present, not only able, but excited about actually helping you in everything you do. So it's the simple acknowledgments that he's there, that he's helping you, that you see his grace, that you recognize his presence being there, that you know he's real. All of this is the simplistic little measures that we take that actually foster a relationship.
Muriel Mattson is listening and said hello.
Good.
We got a message from Katina. It says, "Ranger, you seemed quite... Oh, Ranger, you seemed quiet tonight until the dancing began. Great show Jim, BJ are doing. Yep, my worries from a few weeks ago came to nothing. Ranger, I bet you don't have any worries." Actually, it's kind of funny. Ranger, she sticks pretty close to me. Ranger is a certified registered service dog, and she take... Oh, look, she came over. She heard her name.
Yeah.
Hi. Oh. What is it? She came over. That's her kind of moaning. Ranger comes over and checks on me. She keeps an eye on me. She gets a little nervous when we're in not close proximity.
Yeah, but that's a perfect example of our relationship to God.
Yeah, Ranger keeps an eye on me, don't you?
Oh.
Yeah, good girl. We got another email here that said, don't we? Yeah, we do. Oh, this one is from Dave and Barb.
Okay.
It says, "Hello, just want to say good show tonight. Very clear and practical." And then it says, "P.S., postscript, Jim, see you this weekend." Are they coming to Tulsa?
No, I'll be in Menomonee,
Minnesota.
Wisconsin. Yeah, right up by Minnesota.
So you're going to see Dave and Barb?
And they're going to come to the meeting, yes.
They are?
Yeah.
Well, that's neat.
It'll be awesome. Yep.
Well, tell them I said hello.
Okay. We'll do it.
Give Dave a real big bear hug for me.
Okay, I'll do it. He's listening, so...
Well, he's got a whole week to prepare.
Dave's bigger than I am, so he'll
is
probably...
Is he really? Is he a big guy?
No, he's bigger than I am.
Really?
Yeah.
That
might not be saying much, but anyhow...
Yeah, just give the boy a big old hug from the ranch.
All right.
Then, or you could just like scratch behind his ears and pat his head like you do Ranger and say hi. Just wanted you to say hi from Ranger. I'll let you choose which one of those you want to do. You know, your choice. I don't want to. So, all right. We're about an hour and a half into the show. What do you think? You think we've got the point across? You think we're doing any good tonight?
I do. I really do.
Did you like the new dance song?
I did.
It's hard to find songs.
Yeah,
it's
well,
not as easy.
I was
as you'd
here
think.
While you were finding it. So
yeah, I dug through a bunch of songs. Well,
yeah.
Did the show take the direction you wanted to about the point being the way that we individually see ourselves?
Yeah, I think this is the part that actually everybody. There's nobody that's excluded from this. Everybody has within themselves, if they sat down and got quiet, they could tell you insecurities, they could tell you weaknesses, they could tell you... Remember when we did a show and we called it clicks?
Yeah, clicks away.
They could tell you the way that they click away from God. These little areas or ways in which we dislocate ourselves from him. We're no longer in mind and thought, emotion, feeling attached. and we're attached to something that we give value or we subscribe to as being more important. These are the areas that grace wants to help with. And I want to make sure that everybody realizes grace, this is, there's nothing that BJ and I do when we get down to brass tacks of talking about weaknesses and beginning to become stronger in your life, the way you see yourself. None of that has to do with your own fortitude, your own willpower. This is not willpower, folks. If it was willpower, then Jesus didn't need to come. This is about beginning to tap into an ability, an enhancement, an influence that's literally all around us at all times, willing to help at the moment's notice, and we want to recognize and acknowledge and then begin to participate on purpose with grace.
We got a text message that just came in. It says, can you talk more about the simplicity of healing, please?
Okay, give you an example. This weekend we had some really fun stuff happen. And with this one guy, in fact, he just, the pastor went ahead and put up on Facebook under Generation Church. You may want to look at it. You can see the testimony, a couple different testimonies. Generations Church. I was out in Moreno Valley, California. And this one guy came up and he had diabetes and he also was scheduled for surgery on his knee. And all I did with, and if some of you remember, we did a show a long time ago, and we included in that show, they're not really questions. I mean, what if maybe is a question, but a couple of thoughts. What if and maybe. Remember that?
Right.
And that's all I did. I said, well, what if you really didn't have diabetes? Maybe your blood sugar is perfectly well and you don't need any medication. What if you don't need surgery? What if you're getting it right now? Maybe you could actually walk around the room and be well and not even have any pain in that leg. And that's all I did to this guy. And within a couple of minutes, all that did was open up his heart. And immediately I could sense when grace went into him. And I said, well, there it is. You just got your healing. Well, he testified there's no ounce of diabetes left, hasn't had any medication, his blood sugar level's perfect, hasn't had any symptoms whatsoever. It's been a full week, and he's walking around holding up this brace that said, I couldn't walk without this, I don't need surgery, I canceled it, I don't have any medications, no surgery, nothing. And all I did was get him to actually open his mind to the thought that maybe I really don't have what it seems like I have. How can healing be any more simple?
There's two things that are guaranteed to be everlasting and eternal and to have no real end to them. And that's heaven and hell. Now, if there's no end to hell and there's no end to heaven, and it has nothing to do with clocks and calendars or how old you are, and they're perpetual and they go on and on and on, to an unimaginable distance that is unfathomable to us all right now on this moment. How important is this reality we live in? Let's just say that everybody listening to the show is going to live to be 100 years old, which is considered phenomenal and really, really old. Most people hope they make it into their 70s or early 80s. So when you talk about heaven and hell being eternal, and where time has no factor, which means time isn't even measured in,
right,
in 1,000-year increments, how far up the priority list is 100 years?
Mm-hmm.
What factor does it really have? And this comes out in Scripture in many places that really are never really looked at in this perspective. It talks about whether you're saved and you're reborn and you're a Christian from a young child, or you don't accept Christ as your Savior until you're on your deathbed. There's no coupons, no credit for the person that's been a Christian for years and decades, because we're all created equal in his mind. And the reason is because the reason there's no extra credit or any gifts for being a Christian your whole life, or basically committing sins and not having a relationship with grace until you're on deathbed, is because it's not about your body or this reality that we all think is so important. It's about the end game. It's about not looking at the trees for the forest, but realizing that there are so many forests in your future. One right after another. Here's a forest, another forest, and another forest, and another forest. And they go on and on and on.
Right.
That once you start to look at yourself as a spirit being in this perspective, all of a sudden, healing is a snap. Accepting grace in your life is nothing. Because you think, wait a minute, I was born with grace, and heaven is forever, and there's no limit or end or boundaries to God's love, then all of a sudden,
right,
the worries of the day,
sure,
become nothing.
There's a great scripture I'll read here before you get some of the other messages that came in. It's over in John 12 and 24, and the Message Bible says, listen carefully, Jesus is talking, unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world, it is never any more than a grain of wheat. But if it is buried, it sprouts, reproduces itself many times over. In the same way, anyone who holds on to life, just as it is, destroys that life. But if you let it go, reckless in your love, you'll have it forever, real and eternal. That really goes to what BJ just described, looking at the forest instead of just the trees, and knowing that there are forests upon forests upon forests, that our life, even as the psalmist said, is like a blade of grass. It withers, it dries, it's gone, it's just for a moment. But our life in God is forever. Our spirit lives on forever. Having the greater concept is to prefer and acknowledge your spiritual life in Christ. And that's where the body, Jesus said it himself, he couldn't get any more specific. He said, out of your belly flows rivers of living water. Or in other words, Paul said it this way, the spirit on the inside quickens your mortal body. Same thing. There is a life in you to quicken your body. Get your mind off the body and enjoy Jesus.
Hello to Stacy Skierski, who's listening to the show.
Yeah, over there in Florida.
Is that where they are?
Yeah.
She's listening to the show tonight. Also, I want to take a moment to say, we have a lot of people that listen to the show as it streams 24/7 or on the archives,
right,
page.
Uh-huh.
And so I just want to take a moment to say hello to those people.
Sure.
To let them know that maybe they don't get their name mentioned on the show, but they are certainly thought about.
Oh, yeah.
When we're in here in the barn doing the show, we're well aware that there are a lot of people that never get acknowledged, never get comments. They never have an opportunity to send a text message,
yeah,
or an email.
Almost everywhere I go, I'll have more than one, quite a few that'll come up and say, hey, love the show, you and BJ. And I'll say, what? You listen to the show? Oh, yeah, I've been listening to it for months. It's great. So I'm real pleased to say that these are in places all over the country where people are tuning in, listening, getting help, and enjoying God.
And I want to say a special hello to a real nice young man. Someday he's going to grow up and really make something of himself. Just a good little guy, and we wish him well. Want to say hello to little Chuck Abernathy. Little Chuck Abernathy, Chuck's out there, Charles, probably Chuck to his friends,
yeah,
but want to say a special hello to little Chuck Abernathy out there listening, and son, one of these days you're going to grow up and you're just going to really, really do good for yourself. So I want to say hello to that youngster out there. So everybody wish little Chuck Abernathy a good evening out there. You ready to say something to music?
I am. How you doing, Chuck? Glad you listened in. Well, I'm glad everyone listened in. And those of you that will get the archives, we know that you'll enjoy this show. It'll be great for you. Well, think of it. Paul found out something that was so amazing that once he realized that his weaknesses could be filled and supplied with God's strength, he didn't feel so bad about his weaknesses. He rather just let go of them and let God get in the inside and just really get a hold of all those weaknesses and provide them with strength. So tonight, I just pray that each one of you would just relax and let God be God in your life. I'm thinking right now of the prayer BJ made, three and a half years ago, to the lady with the cat. Yeah. And I think about that was about maybe 4 weeks after you'd been saved that you came to God. And you prayed this prayer that said, God, please help open her eyes just enough so she can believe just a little, and then you can be God. And that lady cried out and said, I believe, and the cat sat up and meowed. Folks, just get out of the way just enough to let God be God, and you'll see some pretty amazing things this next week. Thanks for listening.
Actually, I started that prayer by saying, this is the world's ugliest cat. I'd never seen an uglier cat in my life.
Well, I know. You wanted to pray to have it, or you wanted to pay for it to get re-spayed, didn't you?
Yep, the cat had been spayed many years ago, and it was dead. She had slammed its head in a door.
Yeah.
And it was laying just flat as a pancake on the back seat of her car.
All nine lives.
And she was in tears, an older woman who lived alone with her cat. And she took the cat to the vet, and there was a crack in the skull that had been fixed. And they did tests. And
I tell everybody that the doctor did a CAT scan.
Yeah.
People like that.
He did. They were going to re-spay the cat, but they were afraid to because the cat had been spayed, and all of a sudden after it had been preyed on, it had everything that had been taken out from surgery.
All the female organs back in. Could have kittens.
I heard the cat had kittens, and I'll bet you a shiny new dime that every one of those kittens was just as ugly as the mom cat.
Oh, that's terrible.
I mean, I love animals, but I'm telling you, an uglier cat God has never created.
Wow.
I mean, he must have been like, I don't know, God must have been like watching TV when he created that cat. He just really wasn't paying attention to his work.
Yeah.
You know, because the colors, the, you know, I mean, you know, I'm surprised the cat wasn't cross-eyed.
Well,
the good thing was missing.
Is the cat doesn't know it. That's the good part.
No, the cat's living in grace.
That's right.
And doing good. And you know, who's to say that the cat doesn't think, that was the ugliest man I've ever seen in my life. Long hair, scruffy.
There you go.
Probably lives under a bridge in a refrigerator box.
Yep.
But, I don't know. What do you think of the show tonight? Think we did all right?
Yeah, I think so. I'll look forward to hearing some feedback tomorrow night at the library at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time.
And you can go to Jim's Facebook page. That's the Jim Huckaday Ministry Facebook page. And it live.
Also, jimhuckaday.com website has a place for you to watch the live streaming. It'll be from 7 to 8 o'clock. And this is The Library, a series called What is Reality? And it'll be really good tomorrow night, so join us.
We just got a text that came in. It says, to me, this show has been very clear. Thank you.
Good.
Well, that was nice to say.
Good.
Folks, we want you to take care of yourselves and your pets. And remember, every day there's plenty of time for grace. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Dog spelled backwards.